Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Bava Metzia, Daf Yud Tes. The first parak, Shneim Ochzin. This parak has been dedicated to the memory of Mr. Moshe Horn, Rav Moshe Manes ben Yaakov Yitzchak, by his children, Dvorah and Dov Elias. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, a brisa implied that if the husband admits he divorced his wife, the found get may be returned to her. The Gemara says, since it's possible that the get was written in Nisan and not given until Tishrei, returning the get may cause a loss. The husband may have sold produce from the wife's field in the interim as his entitlement while they were married, and when the wife later produces the get, which indicates inaccurately she was divorced earlier, she will unlawfully take back the produce from the buyers. Although this fits well with the opinion that the husband loses his right to her produce when he decides to divorce her, so she would be entitled to her produce from the written date, but what about the opinion that he retains his right until the actual divorce? The Gemara answers that when she comes to collect the produce, we tell her, I see Raya Amos Matan Gitin Liyadach. Bring proof when the get reached your hand. The Gemara explains this is because the buyer's reason is that the get was returned to her to be able to remarry and not necessarily because the date was verified. However, regarding a loan document, purchasers of property would not challenge the date because they assume that if the shtar was returned, the date must have been verified. Point number two, a brisa discusses the gift documents mentioned in the Mishnah. Ezu daitiki, what is a daitiki? It's a contraction of dat dehela mekam lihios, this shall be valid and lasting, referring to a sick bed will, which is effected without a kinyan, provided the man dies of his illness. The brisa continues, matana kosha kasuba mahayom la chermisa. A gift document is any document in which it's written that the gift should take effect from today and after the benefactor's death, which means that the recipient acquires a physical property immediately, but the benefactor retains the right to the produce until he dies. The Gemara objects that a gift document without such a clause is certainly effective, and Abai clarifies that the brisa means to illustrate where a healthy person's gift would operate like that of a shchimera, a gravely ill person, in that the recipient does not fully acquire it until after the benefactor's death. And point number three, the Mishnah implies that if the author of a daitiki, a sickbed will, or gift document said to give it to the written recipient, we would. This contradicts a brisa which said that such documents are not returned to either party, which is because of a concern that the author opted not to give it and gave the property to someone else. Later he changes his mind and wants to give it illegitimately to the first person by giving this shtar with the earlier date. How does the Mishnah allow returning the shtar? Razvita ultimately explained that although both discuss the gift of a shchimera, the Mishnah refers to the giver himself saying to return it, whereas the brisa's case is where he died and his son says to return it. Regarding the benefactor himself, Devar Mahadarhu, who is able to retract his gift while he's still alive, the above concern is negated, which the Gemara explains at length. When the son says to return the shtar, it's not returned because he cannot retract from his late father's gift, and the concern is relevant. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a brisa implied that if a husband admits he divorced his wife, the found get may be returned to her. The Gemara says, since it's possible that the get was written in Nisan and not given until Tishrei, returning the get may cause a loss. The husband may have sold produce from the wife's field in the interim as his entitlement while they were married, and when the wife later produces the get, which indicates inaccurately she was divorced earlier, she will unlawfully take back the produce from the buyers. Although this fits well with the opinion that the husband loses his right to her produce when he decides to divorce her, so she would be entitled to her produce from the written date, but what about the opinion that he retains his right until the actual divorce? The Gemara answers that when she comes to collect the produce, we tell her, I see Raya Amos Matan Gitin Liyadach. Bring proof when the get reached your hand. The Gemara explains this is because the buyer's reason is that the get was returned to her to be able to remarry and not necessarily because the date was verified. However, regarding a loan document, purchasers of property would not challenge the date because they assume that if the shtar was returned, the date must have been verified. Point number two, a brisa discusses the gift documents mentioned in the Mishnah. Ezu daitiki, what is a daitiki? It's a contraction of dat dehela mekam lihios, this shall be valid and lasting, referring to a sick bed will, which is effected without a kinyan, provided the man dies of his illness. The brisa continues, matana kosha kasuba mahayom la chermisa. A gift document is any document in which it's written that the gift should take effect from today and after the benefactor's death, which means that the recipient acquires a physical property immediately, but the benefactor retains the right to the produce until he dies. The Gemara objects that a gift document without such a clause is certainly effective, and Abai clarifies that the brisa means to illustrate where a healthy person's gift would operate like that of a shchimera, a gravely ill person, in that the recipient does not fully acquire it until after the benefactor's death. And point number three, the Mishnah implies that if the author of a didaiki, a sickbed will or gift document, said to give it to the written recipient, we would. This contradicts a brice which said that such documents are not returned to either party, which is because of a concern that the author opted not to give it and gave the property to someone else. Later, he changes his mind and wants to give it illegitimately to the first person by giving this shtar with the earlier date. How does the Mishnah allow returning the shtar? Razvita ultimately explained that although both discuss the gift of a shchimira, the Mishnah refers to the giver himself saying to return it, whereas the Bryce's case is where he died and his son says to return it. Regarding the benefactor himself, Devar Mahadarhu, who is able to retract his gift while he's still alive, the above concern is negated, which the Gemara explains at length. When the son says to return the shtar, it's not returned because he cannot retract from his late father's gift, and the concern is relevant. All right, so now we get a Siman Daf Yud Tes, and our standard Siman is a yacht. Yacht. So here goes. The luxury yacht filled with glum divorcees who could not recover their produce when they failed to prove the dates of their giddin was on a consolation trip to the exotic Daitiki Island, where gravely ill people wrote wills without a kinyan and saw their lost wills being given to the recipients without concern because the shchimira can retract. Once again, it's a motion. The luxury yacht. Yacht. That must be on Duff. Yates. The luxury yacht filled with glum divorcees who could not recover their produce when they failed to prove the dates of their get, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses why returning a get will not cause a loss to possible buyers of the wife's field's produce. The Gemara explains that when the wife comes to collect the produce, we tell her, bring proof when the get reached your hand. The Gemara explains this because the buyer's reason is that the get was returned to her to be able to remarry, and not necessarily because the date was verified. So the luxury yacht filled with glum divorcees who could not recover their produce when they failed to prove the dates of their giddin was on a consolation trip to the exotic Daitiki Island, where gravely ill people wrote wills without a kinyan, which reminds us. Bryce discusses the gift documents mentioned in the Mishnah. Ezui Daitiki, what is a Daitiki? It's a contraction of Dat Dehele Mekim Lios. This shall be valid and lasting, referring to a sick bed will, which is effective without a kinyan, provided the person dies of his illness. So the luxury yacht filled with glum divorcees who could not recover their produce when they failed to prove the dates of their giddin was on a consolation trip to the exotic Daitiki Island, where gravely ill people wrote wills without a kinyan and saw their lost wills being given to the recipients without concern because the shchimira can retract, which reminds us, the more discusses returning a daitiki or gift document where the property may have been given to someone else. Regarding the benefactor himself, he's able to retract his gift while he's alive. So once again, the luxury yacht filled with glum divorcees who could not recover their produce when they failed to prove the dates of their gittin was on a consolation trip to the exotic Daitiki Island, where gravely ill people wrote wills without a kinyan and saw their lost wills being given to the recipients without concern because the shchimira can retract. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazar. Daf tezvav. So the siman daf tezvav is a fruit bowl because it relates to Tu B'Shvat. So here goes. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it. Fruit bowls? That must be on Daf Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Baal Chov goves ha-shevach. The seller's creditor collects the improvements the buyer made to the land and does not pay for them. Rava demonstrates this from the fact that the seller initially writes that he accepts to compensate the buyer for any loss of the field, his expenditures in the field, and its improvements. Because the buyer will be compensated for the improvements, the creditor can collect them without paying for them. Rava says regarding a gift where there is no guarantee given, the Baal Chov would not get the improvements. So the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted they didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, which reminds us, the Gemara says that if the buyer recognized that the property was not the seller's, Rav says, Ma'oz Yesho Shevach Enlo, he has a right to demand the money paid for the property, but does not have a right to compensation for improvements he made in the field. Shmuel says, Afilo Ma'oz Enlo, he does not even have the right to demand the money he paid for it. Rav holds the buyer knows the sale is ineffective and he gave the money to be a pikadon by the seller. He didn't say so explicitly because he thought the seller would not agree to guard it. Shmuel holds that because the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, we assume he gave the money as a matana to the seller without saying so explicitly because he thought the seller would not accept it. So the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, and then why the deceitful seller came and purchased the field from the original owner, which reminds us, Shmuel asked, if the Gazlan, after selling, so to speak, the field, came back and purchased it from its original owner, what is the halacha? Can he take possession of the land from the purchaser, just like the legitimate owner could have done? He replied, what did the Gazlan sell to the buyer? Any right which will come into his possession. His subsequent purchase of the property was intended to obtain it for the purchaser. Two reasons are given. One, he doesn't want the buyer to call him a robber for selling him stolen land, or he wants to keep his credibility. Daf Tes Zayin. So the simur Daf Tes Zayin is toes, and we often use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must be on Daf Tes Zayin. The acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told his fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him which he had purchased, which reminds us, Rav had ruled that if a Gazlan bought property after selling it to someone, we assume he bought it for the buyer and cannot retain it. Rami Bar Chama asked, how did the buyer acquire this land since the original bill of sale was ineffective? Rava answered, let this ruling be where the buyer tells the robber he trusts him to obtain the land. In exchange for the hana, the robber receives that the purchaser did not confront him for the fraudulent sale, but trusts him to work to obtain the land for him. The Gazlan commits to transfer its ownership to him. The Ran explains that this benefit is tantamount to receiving money. So the acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told its fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him which he had purchased, was approached by another acrobat who told him that a specific field he will buy to put a trapeze on will be transferred to him retroactively, which reminds us, Rav said that if one says, the field which I'm going to buy is transferred to you when I purchase it, may akshav, retroactively, the recipient requires it when the giver buys it. Rava said this is logical beside the stump with an unspecified field because the recipient is confident he'll find a field to purchase. But beside the zoo, with this specific field, it would not logically apply because the recipient lacks confidence the giver will obtain it. Who says the owner will sell it to him? However, Rava swore that Rava applied his ruling even regarding a specific field. So the acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told his fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him, which he had purchased, was approached by another acrobat who told him that a specific field he'll buy to put a trapeze on will be transferred to him retroactively, after a shtar haknah that was found in the shuk was returned to him as the lender, since if it had been paid, the debtor would have ripped it up, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Hamosi shtar haknah b'shuk, if one finds a document of acquisition in the street, meaning a shtar which creates a debt, even if a loan is never issued, yachzir l'balim, he should return it to its owner. There's no concern the loan was not issued, since he obligated himself regardless, although he may have paid the debt. Shmuel holds, l'chashin l'perion, we're not concerned about possible payment, because if he had paid, he would have torn the shtar, and it would not have been found intact. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Sim Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman from Hursa Kafran Motors, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that if a lender tells a debtor, you owe me a mana, which the debtor completely denies, and then Adim testified that he did borrow, v'chazav v'amar parati, and he subsequently said, I paid the debt afterwards, huchza kafran lo samaman. He's established as a liar regarding that money since he was caught lying about it and is not believed that he paid without presenting Adim. So the used car salesman from Hursa Kafran Motors, who was upset when a shtar for a loan he took out that day was found and returned to the lender, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that if someone finds a shtar which is certified, v'kasubo zmanu bo b'yom, and the date written in it is that very day, he should return it to the owner. The loan was definitely issued since it's certified. As far as possible payment, l'prias bas yomo l'chashinin, we're not concerned about payment on the very day the debt was issued, which is very unlikely. So the used car salesman from Hursa Kafran Motors, who was upset when a shtar for a loan he took out that day was found and returned to the lender, was also not believed when he claimed he paid his wife's ksuba and was told he has said nothing since a ksuba is a maisa basin, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, Aton achar maisa basin, if someone claims he paid an obligation imposed by an act of basin, such as a ksuba and feeding one's wife and daughters, lo markum, he has said nothing and is not believed. He explains that anyone claiming an obligation imposed by basin is commanded nakishtar biyadidam, like one holding a document recording the obligation in his hand. Daf Yud Ches, at the same Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah because ben Yud Ches will chuppah, someone who's 18 should go to chuppah. So here goes. When the kala under the chuppah, that must be on Daf Yud Ches. When the kala under the chuppah yanked her get away from her ex-husband, who wanted to rip it up when he paid her ksuba, which he needed to remarry, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses why a get is not like an ordinary shtar for collecting her ksuba. Although one normally cannot claim payment against the shtar, which one should have destroyed, here the husband can say he cannot rip up her get, since she needed as proof of divorce in order to remarry. So when the kala under the chuppah yanked her get away from her ex-husband, who wanted to rip it up when he paid her ksuba, which she needed, to remarry, the rabbi informed those present that although her get had been lost, it was returned to her, even though it was found in an area with caravans where other gittin fell, which reminds us, the next mishnah states, that if someone found gittin, gift documents, or receipts, they are not returned to the written recipient because the author may have reconsidered and never given the shtar. The Gemara infers, ha'amar tnu, nostin, if the author said to give the documents, we would give them. Now, this contradicts a mishnah which teaches that if a get was sent and lost, then if it was found immediately, it may be used, but if not, it cannot be used because it may be someone else's get. Rabbi answers, Kan b'makum shayaros mitsuyos. That mishnah is where caravans are common, increasing the likelihood that it fell from someone else. So, when the kala under the chuppah yanked her get away from her ex-husband, who wanted to rip it up when he paid her ksuba, which she needed, to remarry, the rabbi informed those present that although her get had been lost, it was returned to her, even though it was found in an area with caravans where other gittin fell, because her ex-husband told them about the hole right next to his name, which reminds us. Ravashi says, a get found after a long time could be used where the husband says there's a hole next to a particular letter in the get, the Havali Simon Mufa, because it's a uniquely identifying mark and may be relied on even with regard to gittin. The Gemara clarifies that Ravashi is only willing to rely on a truly distinctive mark, such as identifying the spot of the hole. But if he merely says that it has a hole somewhere, it's insufficient. The reason is mesopically simanim idaraisi idarabun. Ravashi is uncertain if ordinary simanim upon which we rely to return lost objects are sufficient evidence on a deraisa level or only midarabun and therefore cannot be used for gittin. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Rumbold from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.